We are back on Inside the Numbers. I'm Scott Singer along with Mike Bernard, and we're now into the first week of March, and that means the tournaments are getting closer. This week, five out of six conferences will begin tournament play, including the Big Ten. Commissioner Jim Delaney decided to move it up to Madison Square Garden this week as the Big East tournament is playing at the Garden next weekend. So they've had, in order to get this venue, they're playing early, Mike, and it's an interesting decision, to say the least.
Yeah, it's a decision that Jim Delaney now admittedly regrets. They wanted to play in Madison Square Garden, understandably so, but in order to do so, they had to move up the tournament to this week because, as you said, the Big East tournament has the Garden next week.
Yeah, it seems nuts to make that call, but I guess, you know, they felt good about the attendance there, and so that must have been the reason. But I guess one of the things you got to worry about with that is the fact that, you know, if you have a team on the bubble, you could forget about them come Selection Sunday.
That's right, and look, let's be honest. The reason that Rutgers is in the Big Ten is because they're in the New York area.
Exactly. So there you've got the media market in play there, and it's going to be interesting to see how that works out for the conference. But we will see. But a lot of other major tournaments will play next week, and they're going to go ahead and do it early. But the top seeds, of course, Michigan State, Purdue, Ohio State, and Nebraska. Nebraska kind of a surprise there, squeaking in as the four seed. They get a bye, and that takes a very good Michigan team and makes them have to play a play-in game to get into that quarterfinal.
Yeah, Nebraska's been unbeatable at home. They're actually the best team in all of college basketball against the spread, and much of that is due to their dominance at home. And as you said, the top four did get the two-day bye, so to speak. The bottom four teams played on Wednesday night. Seeds 5 through 10 play today.
Well, obviously, the top four teams are probably a lock. I would think Michigan probably gets in as well. But who else do you see making the tournament outside of the top four or five teams here in the Big Ten?
I agree with you on Michigan. I also think Penn State's going to make it. Maryland, 19-12, but they're just 8-10 in conference play. I think the Terps need to get a win or maybe two in the tournament. If Maryland makes the field, as long as, you know, the tournament winner is not a team seated lower than seventh, I look for the Big Ten to get about seven teams to get an invite.
Well, you mentioned Penn State getting in, and I think they, a few weeks ago, or I guess 2 weeks ago, I would have agreed with you wholeheartedly because they knocked off Ohio State. That's a big win, but they have not finished strong. I think it's important for them to have a good tournament because they lost to Purdue, Michigan, and Nebraska to close out the regular season. I know those are all better teams, but you would have thought a win against one of those might have, you know, solidified their seed.
Yeah, and I think they do. It would help them to get a win, and they are favored by about 5.5 points over Northwestern. I think they get that win, and I think they get in the big dance.
All right, well, switching gears a little bit, the other Power Six conferences start tournament play next week. Who are some of the teams that need to finish strong to get an NCAA bid?
Well, we have the Big 12. When I look at the Big 12, I see Kansas, Texas Tech, West Virginia. They're safe. Most have Oklahoma in. I disagree. They have been awful the last few weeks. They're about 2-10 their last 12 games. K-State, TCU, Baylor, Texas, Oklahoma State, they all have a chance. And frankly, I think they all deserve to be ranked ahead of Oklahoma. The Pac-12, only two teams are safe, and that's Arizona and Arizona State. USC, UCLA, Utah, and Washington, I think they need strong finishes to help their cause. When I take a look at the Big East, five teams look to be safe. Villanova, Providence, Xavier, Seton Hall, and Butler. The bubble teams are Creighton and Marquette.
Yeah, it's interesting you mention that because I've thought of that conference as almost overrated throughout the year. I think, you know, some of like maybe the ACC and the SEC are stronger this year, and I feel like, you know, that conference, the Big East, is just, I know they've got top ranked teams, but I just don't feel like they're as strong as some of the other power conferences out there.
Yeah, and I can see that they're a little bit top heavy. Villanova ranked number one much of the year. Providence, they're okay. Xavier's really good. Xavier's built for tournaments. Butler's built for tournaments. We saw Butler in the national title game 2 years in a row. Of course, their head coach now coaches the Celtics, who are by the way, are doing quite well. But I would agree, with the Big East being a little bit overvalued.
Well, my problem with it has been that Villanova, who looked dominant earlier in the year, has lost some games down the stretch. They played a tough game last night. I mean, they have not blown out the bottom of the rest of the conference. And I feel like Xavier and Villanova, being as top heavy it is, should be dominant every night. And I don't feel like they're like that every night. I think it's going to be – it's one thing when you're not dominant against Seton Hall. It's another thing when you've got to play a good ACC or SEC team or a hot Big 12 team.
Well, that's right. And look, let's go back. Now, Villanova did win it all a couple of years back. But Jay Wright's teams really underperformed in a lot of other tournaments. They would be seeded really high, go into the tournament, and lose in the first or second round. So even though they're a past champion recently, they need to come out and kind of get rid of that stigma. And we'll see. I mean, look, I like the SEC. I know some teams are struggling down the stretch, but I like the SEC. They've been down in recent years, but I think they might have a good showing.
I think the SEC is playing as well as they've played in the last 15 years. I think top to bottom, it is the most loaded conference. You've got so many teams with seven losses. There's only two teams in the entire conference that don't have seven losses in league play. That's how even it is from top to bottom. And down the stretch, you've got some scary teams that are not your number one seeds. You've got Kentucky and Florida who are closing right now. Tennessee's looking good right now. And, Auburn's still probably going to be the top seed, depending on how the weekend plays out. But you've got an opportunity here for some teams to really make a run come tournament time. And the team that I see as the number one challenge that scares me more than anybody out of the SEC is Georgia, because I think they are playing well. I know they didn't win last night, but they played a tough game with A&M. They have looked really good down the stretch with a win over Florida. They've looked good, and I think that team is built for a tournament if they were to get it together.
No, I would agree. And Georgia has 13 losses. Alabama has 13 losses. Now, for most of the year, many thought Alabama was a lock because of all their quality wins. You know, they've gone to this quadrant system, and they call it Q1, Q2, and so on. Alabama has a lot of quality wins. Well, they've really struggled. They've lost several games in a row. I think they need to beat A&M in A&M, and I think they need to have at least one tournament win. And if they lose to A&M, I think they have to win at least two because of all the losses they have.
And they fall into that how did you finish category, and I think that's going to hurt them because they've lost four in a row, and they're the only team in the SEC that's struggled that much down the stretch. And I think the game against Florida last week is going to it was not close at all, and I think they couldn't hit a shot. And everybody has nights like that, but the tournament's going to look at that game. There weren't a lot of games on TV, and some people were watching that game, and it looked like they almost quit. And I don't think that's going to help them down the stretch. I agree with you. They're going to have to win probably one or two games in the SEC tournament to solidify their claim.
Right, and as good as Alabama looked beating Tennessee by 26, they looked equally as bad losing on their home court to Florida, and Tennessee's a real good team. I just don't see the consistency out of Alabama right now. The other teams, you talked about the teams that have impressive records. Well, these teams don't have the best records, but Missouri, Arkansas, Mississippi State, those are all quality teams that are worthy of consideration. I think the SEC can send as many as 9 teams and maybe a minimum of 7 teams, depending on what happens Saturday and, of course, what takes place in the SEC tournament in St. Louis.
Exactly. You've got a lot of teams on that kind of magic. You always think about it as 17 wins, you're right on the bubble, 19 or 20 wins, you're usually in. Well, there are a lot of teams here with, they're approaching that 19 to 20 win season. And I think, a couple rounds here, maybe a win in the last week of the season, and then, you go a round or two in the SEC tournament, you'll definitely get in. But Mississippi State, you mentioned them. That team has quietly just worked their way up the ladder. They're 9-8 in league play. They're 21-9 overall, and that's a number that you got to keep your eye on. The tournament doesn't like to deny teams that have over 20 wins that are in a good conference.
Yeah, and they deny that. I mean, they say the 20 win benchmark is no longer the goal. But look, let's be honest. the optics of seeing 20 wins versus 19 wins for that committee, it's going to play a factor. And the other side of that is when you look at the loss column. And if Alabama has 14 or 15 losses, they're going to have a tough time getting in because they're not the same team. Scott, remember, one of the most important metrics, and you referred to it earlier, one of the most important metrics in the past was, what did you do in your last 10? Well, we're not hearing that from the committee this year. We're hearing all this new quadrant one, quadrant two, Q3, Q4, and all that. That's great. But if they want the teams that are playing the best, and of course you could go back to college football and say Alabama lost their last game, but that's a whole different dynamic as far as I'm concerned, because you're getting, what do we have? We have 32 teams that have an automatic bid, and we have 36 at large. So, and of those 32 teams, I think 21 are only going to have one team, and that's their champion. And that means, let's say, if Middle Tennessee State doesn't win their tournament, they might get left out, and that really shouldn't be the case because I feel they're one of the top 20 teams in the nation.
And conversely, if they do get in, let's say they do lose their conference tournament and they get in, that denies another SEC or ACC team that might be down on the bubble.
Right, and I would go to your point earlier in the piece where you talked about the Big East. I think one of those Big East teams, for instance, I don't think Marquette has any business even being in the conversation. I do think Creighton does, but I would rather I would have Creighton drop out before I would one of those SEC teams we talked about.
Exactly. I think top to bottom, the SEC, and I mean, I've beaten this league up in the past because of, you know, they were top heavy with Kentucky and Florida in past years. This is the best SEC top to bottom I can remember in the last couple decades. This is a very good league this year, and I think they've put a lot of money in basketball. They've a lot of coaches are getting a lot of money. These are big name coaches that have come from other conferences. It is not the SEC that we saw 5 and 6 years ago where Kentucky just rolled away with it. And you're seeing Kentucky struggle. I know they're finishing strong right now, but they've had a rough year.
Yeah, they have. But look, with the one and done era now here, Kentucky, they always seem to elevate their game as the season goes along. They started out slower this year than most. I mean, they did get to 20 wins. And Calipari, can't argue, he's a great coach. Both obviously he's an excellent recruiter, but he also he's a very good coach when it comes to in-game decisions and deciding on personnel. He'll put a starter. When he had the Harrison twins at guard, one of the games that one of the Harrison kids played like 4 or 5 minutes just because the game wasn't fitting his game at that time. And so I think Kentucky's a team to watch out for. Remember a couple of years back, they didn't lose a game all year. And who was it? Wisconsin took them out.
Yeah, Wisconsin knocked them out in the Final Four that year, and that was probably the best Kentucky team they ever put on the court. And unfortunately,
yeah, right,
they didn't win a national championship, but that was probably top to bottom the best team that I think the Wildcats have ever had, and they'll never go down in the record book like that. But that was an unbelievable basketball team.
Yeah, yeah, many NBA players on there, and they dominated teams. They beat teams by, you know, 30 and 40 points that year. All right, Scott. We'll talk more about the SEC. We got to wait and see what happens on Saturday, because that's going to be a huge day for the SEC and other big conferences as well. And we'll see how the SEC tournament seeding is, and if Alabama doesn't beat A&M on Saturday, and some other teams lose, we're going to have some good first and second round games in the SEC tournament.
And for the first time, the SEC tournament is going to be in St. Louis. And I don't know how that's going to affect it, because, you know, and typically it's been in Nashville or Atlanta, and this is different. This is a very different venue, and it creates travel issues, not necessarily for the players, but you're not going to have that home court advantage. I mean, anyone who's been to Nashville or Atlanta in the last decade or two is realize it's a sea of blue by, you know, throughout the weekend. And I mean, do the Kentucky people make the trip that far? Is A&M
yes.
have an advantage being closer over there? Does Missouri have an advantage? What kind of home field flair is there?
They can play in Shanghai, China, uh-huh. and Kentucky's going to have the home court advantage because they travel better than any fans in any sport.
There you go. They will make that trip. Well, Obviously, the SEC tournament big. Any other big tournaments you want to keep your eye on this or next weekend?
Well, we've got the American Athletic Conference. We've got the ACC, of course, and we'll go all over that. We'll go over all those tournaments early next week.
All right. Well, sounds good. Some interesting games coming up. The end of the regular season coming up this week. It is going to be an exciting time for basketball. And finally, we can say it, March is here. Please join us next week.